Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. Natalie Elphick's dramatic defection to Labour had already caused quite a bit of controversy this week, with many in the Labour Party feeling she should not have been welcome, given her position on the right of the Conservative Party. Now, there could be more trouble for Keir Starmer after the Sunday Times reported that Elphick may have lobbied the then Justice Secretary Robert Buckland over her husband's trial on sexual assault charges in 2020. Speaking to Labour frontbencher Jonathan Ashworth on the BBC, Laura Koonsberg asked if Elphick should be investigated.
The Sunday Times this morning has reported that your new MP, Natalie Elphick, who last week joined your ranks, has been accused of lobbying the then Justice Secretary about her husband's court case. Should that be investigated?
Well, she says it's nonsense. It's not in her interpretation of events. I don't understand if why the Lord Chancellor at the time did not raise this and why he's raising it now, but she says it's not in her interpretation of the of that discussion.
Should it be investigated just to make sure that it was all absolutely above board? Because either she isn't telling the truth or Robert Buckland, who is a KC and who was the Justice Secretary and Lord Chancellor, isn't telling the truth.
Well, look, she said it is not her interpretation. She says it is nonsense. I wasn't there, you weren't there. I mean, look, if Robert Buckland has got more to say on that, perhaps he should come out and offer his opinions and his reflections on it.
I wonder if she was still a Tory MP, I think a lot of our viewers might think that the Labour Party would be shouting from the rooftops for an investigation, wouldn't you?
This didn't come out at the time because Robert Buckland, these Tories, they didn't say anything
about
this at the time.
Now, because a lot of people in your party are not very happy that she has been welcomed in to begin with. And don't these allegations actually start to create a sense that maybe Keir Starmer and your Labour leadership team have made an error of judgment?
I think what Natalie Elphick's crossing of the floor reveals is the extent to which we are witnessing a disintegrating and decaying Conservative government. And she moved away from the Conservatives because she felt the government, the Conservative government, had failed to support young people getting on the housing ladder. She moved away from them because she felt the Conservative government had failed to bring order to our borders.
But if your new colleague, Jonathan Ashworth, if your new colleague is accused of trying to interfere again with a legal case, surely you should want to get to the bottom of that, to be completely sure. And your colleague, Shabana Mahmood, the Shadow Justice Secretary, sat in that chair a couple of weeks ago and said it is high time that politicians respected properly the independence of the judiciary. And it seems here that your new colleague is accused of just doing the opposite.
An accusation that she denies. So if
But you're content with that.
If Robert Buckland has evidence or has got more to say, then let's hear what he says. But look, more broadly, though, what she has done, like thousands and thousands of Conservatives across the country, she has shifted to the Labour Party because she can see that after 14 years of failure, that it is time for change. And I'm not a tribal politician, you know that. I might enjoy a robust to and fro in the studio, but generally, I'm not a tribal guy. Lots of my friends, my relatives, neighbours are Conservatives, and they are shifting to Labour because they know that after 14 years it's time for change. They know there's a £46 billion black hole in Tory plans, which means more tax on pensioners, cuts the NHS, or another borrowing bonanza. They know what five more years of Conservatives
could mean. Anyone would imagine that there's an election coming.
Zara Sultana is one Labour MP with doubts about the newest arrival. Speaking to Laura Koonsberg, Sultana suggested Elphick being accepted into the party was hypocritical.
Now, politics, defections, they're not common things to happen. How did you feel when you heard, Zara, that Natalie Elphick, who's on the right of the Tory party, was coming your way?
I think it's great when people are moving towards the Labour movement and the Labour Party. Natalie Elphick, however, is an interesting one because she is a former paid-up member of the ERG. She voted for Liz Truss in the leadership. She's at odds when it comes to fire and rehire, has attacked trade unions and their activities. Not great on the environment either. So unless she's had the biggest Damascene conversion ever, I just don't buy it, and it's concerning as well in terms of conversations I've had within the PLP, especially from the Women's PLP, the comments that she's made about her ex husband and the trial. So
you don't really think it's great, Nadine? What about you?
I think getting trashed by her own mother in the Sunday Times in the brilliant Gabriel Pogrens piece, and he's coming to our Truth Tellers Summit on Wednesday, and he keeps breaking those scoops about.
He's a very good story breaker, Gabriel Pogrens, for sure.
Keir Starmer's made two mistakes that Tony Blair wouldn't have made. One is the Natalie Elphick, which I think is going to be problematic for him. That's my prediction. My second prediction is I think he's made a mistake to vote against the Rwanda bill, and now to come out and say he will actually get rid of it if he were prime minister. I suspect he'll reverse that before the general election.
Really?
That's my prediction.
And what would happen in the Labour Party if he did that?
Just on what Nadim said about Natalie, the other issue, I think, amongst the left as well, is the hypocrisy. We've got Diane Abbott, whose case has been investigated for over a year, and now we've got someone who's been enthusiastically embraced from the hard right of the Conservative Party. I don't think that's a great look in terms of our progressive base, and needs to be addressed as well.
With a Rafah offensive seemingly imminent, President Biden has announced a pause on the delivery of military aid to Israel. Foreign Secretary David Cameron told Laura Koonsberg the UK would not be following suit.
One of our viewers wanted us to ask you about this. Dee Thomas has been in touch to say, this is a point of principle. Regardless of the amount of arms supplied, the act of stopping the delivery carries a much, much stronger message.
It's undoubtedly true. We could, if we chose to, make a sort of political message and say we're going to take that political step. Now, the last time I was urged to do that, just a few days later, I didn't do that, and just a few days later, there was a brutal attack by Iran on Israel, including 140 cruise missiles. So it was not sort of, you know, tiny drones, huge cruise missiles blasting into Israel, and I think it would have sent entirely the wrong message. It would have been a very unwise move. So, you know, as we stand here today, I think there is a better answer, which is, you know, Hamas must take the hostage deal. You get the pause in the fighting. You build a ceasefire out of that. But I think, actually, just to simply announce today we're going to change our whole approach to arms exports rather than go through our careful process, it would strengthen Hamas, it would make a hostage deal less likely. Mm. I don't think it would be the right approach.
So is President Biden wrong to take that approach then?
He is in a totally different position. They
but
are
the
a
principle.
Massive state. To them, it's not so much a principle, because actually it's really, they are a massive state supplier of weaponry. Mm. They're involved in the IDF tactical and strategic thinking. It's a totally different situation. And I'm not really, you know, what I want to do is make sure British policy has impact. You know, we've got three things we want to achieve. We want to stop the fighting, get the hostages out, and remove the Hamas threat. We want to get aid into the Palestinian people in Gaza.
And we'll talk about
and
that.
We crucially want the long-term solution of the two-state solution
that Nadine was talking about.
What I measure is, you know, are we making progress on those things? That's frustrating. Not enough aid is getting through, but we're hammering away every day on open the port of Ashdod, get this pier built off the Gazan beach, switch on the water and the fuel back into Gaza, get the 500 trucks a day. That's what we're doing, hammering away on that, because that will make a real difference. I'm not really interested in the sort of message sending. I'm interested in what can we do to maximise the British pressure and the outcome that will help people in their lives, including getting the hostages, including British nationals, by the way, released.
You seem very frustrated by what's happening.
It is frustrating because, you know, I am a supporter of Israel, I'm a supporter of the two-state solution, but I'm a massive believer in the importance of getting aid through to the Palestinian people. We had some big promises from Netanyahu a few weeks ago, and we've seen some changes that are positive, but not enough. And so I was on the phone to Ron Dermer, who's sort of Netanyahu's right-hand man in the cabinet, for an hour on Friday, making these points. It's not all bleak, though. I mean, on the issue of the treatment of detainees, I went to see Netanyahu. I said it wasn't good enough, that we needed to have a proper independent system for inspecting and regulating, and the Israelis have announced they're now going to do that. So we shouldn't overstate what Britain can get done, but nor should we understate it.
In contrast, the Labour Party has stated it would follow Biden in pausing arms exports. Shadow Paymaster General Jonathan Ashworth told Koonsberg that he did not want to see British weapons used in a Rafah offensive.
Let's start on the Middle East.
Yes.
Now, Zara wants you to say that the UK should stop selling arms to Israel. Will you?
Well, the situation in Gaza continues to be horrific. Tens of thousands of people lost their lives, including many women and children. I look on and completely horrified. It's why I've been calling for an immediate ceasefire for some time. It's why I want to see the humanitarian aid, the UN aid, get in there and get more of it get in there. Of course, like everybody else, I want to see hostages released immediately.
But should the UK stop selling arms?
On this issue of Rafah, let me be very clear. a full-scale offensive into Rafah will be a catastrophe beyond description. There's 1.5 million people there. There's 600,000 children there. And if that full-scale offensive goes ahead, I do not want to see British-made weapons, components that are parts of weapons, used in that offensive. So we've both called for the legal advice to be published. Mm-hmm. That's unprecedented, but in the circumstances, we think it should be published. But we do not think that those arms sales should go ahead if this desperately, desperately devastating Rafah offensive, which it will be, is embarked upon.
So you are agreeing then President Biden's position, rather than the Foreign Secretary, that if the Rafah attack goes ahead, no more British...
I do not want to see British weapons used in that Rafah offensive.
What would you say to the government who actually says, look, we've got to stick to the way that we do this, we have a strict process? You might have heard David Cameron saying, look, our British lawyers are already pointing at what the Israeli forces are doing on the ground, and as of right now, it can go ahead.
Well, look, you know, we want to see the legal advice. And I do not understand the British government's position, given that in previous conflicts, both the David Cameron government, Gordon Brown, Margaret Thatcher have all made decisions around suspensions of arms sales. So we need to see the legal advice. But yes, look, if that Rafah offensive is going to be catastrophic, we've been warning that it would be catastrophic for some time. Indeed, when we brought a motion to Parliament calling for a ceasefire, our motion also opposed a Rafah offensive. Mm-hmm. Parliament endorsed that motion. We all voted for it by acclamation. That's when we shout yes or mm-hmm. aye in favour mm-hmm. of it. So look, if that goes ahead, we do not want to see British weapons used in it.
Finally, with Russia reopening a major front in northeastern Ukraine, David Cameron argued on Sky News that this is an extremely dangerous moment. He urged Ukraine's allies to make our strength count.
We'll be leaning on other Europeans, Germans, for example?
We are, in a polite and diplomatic and sensible way. But, you know, if other countries did all the things that the UK is doing in terms of the long-range weapons, in terms of the training and support, we've just basically got to make our strength count. I mean, together, the allies of Ukraine outrank the Russian economy 25-1. So we've just got to make it count. That's the key. It's very frustrating because we can help the Ukrainians to hold back the Russians this year, push them back next year, and then I think you achieve the just peace that we need to see.
If I may say so, you sound a bit cross with our European allies.
I'm not. Look, we work, you know, if you look at the Germans, actually, they have given, in monetary terms, you know, more than almost anybody. But, of course, we'd like them to go further with the long-range artillery and with the Taurus missile. So we'll... But it's a discussion. And all it's... Right. I'm doing everything I can. That's the most important part of my job right now.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Joe Bedell-Brill. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/blend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.